on this first Monday of the new year. It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. Today is the traditional in-person inauguration day of the state Senate and Assembly. Republicans hold a 61-38 majority in the Assembly. The GOP maintains its majority in the state Senate. We're taking stock of the Democratic Party in Wisconsin. What transpired this election cycle? The court battles, absentee ballots, the virtual get out the vote, and what priorities look like this year and beyond. What do you want to ask the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin? It's 800-642-1234. Ben Wickler is chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Ben, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much, Kate. It's good to be back and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. So the November election was unlike any other in history with a pandemic. The misinformation, the disinformation, the bitter divisions in our nation confronting a racist history. What did you learn up and down the ballot from what transpired this election cycle?
Well, first I'll say I hope that it remains unlike any in our history. This was just a series of nightmare conditions piled on top of each other. The second thing that blew me away is how voters mobilized, how volunteers poured themselves into it. We had record turnout all across this country and here in Wisconsin. And the level of civic participation of people understanding that their vote matters, that it will change the world, that this is the moment when they hold the future of humanity in their hands and taking action on that, it really inspired me profoundly. And I hope that, while I hope that the division and the pandemic and racism and all these different things are things that we change, hopefully because of elections, I hope that that level of faith and commitment in the civic process and democratic process stays with us. So I think that's my first big reflection. I think the second thing I'll say is it mattered that we started early. At the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, we started building, under my predecessor chair, Martha Lanning, a year-round organizing program in the spring of 2017 that worked continuously for more than 3.5 years through Election Day. And every vote really, really, really mattered, as we saw. So we're going to keep on organizing year-round going forward. And I think a lesson for any state party, I hope Democratic parties in particular pay attention, is that it pays off to invest early and to work around the clock, not just in the final weeks leading up to the election.
Yeah, your strategy was to organize and fundraise as if you were behind, ignore the polls, assume your party was operating at a disadvantage. Was that a lesson you carried from 2016 when President Trump narrowly won Wisconsin?
Absolutely. In 2016, poll after poll said that Hillary Clinton was ahead in Wisconsin. On election day, the polling average, if you went to realqueerpolitics.com, it had her up 6.5 percentage points. Russ Feingold looked like he was up over Ron Johnson in 2016, substantially. And as a result, a lot of people didn't pour every last drop of gas into that fight. The national campaign didn't invest in Wisconsin. The nominee didn't visit Wisconsin. There were so many things that didn't happen because of this sense that the polls said everything was going to be okay. So this time, we would take those polls and throw them in the wastebasket. This was they ignore the polls, full steam ahead, everything you possibly can, keep adding to the program all the way to the last second.
I think pollsters are unfriending you at this moment.
I will tell you, there's one thing we did look at with polls, which is whether there was substantial movement one way or the other. And the polls, there were some outlier polls, but things were fairly steady for a long time. It's just a question of, I think if there had been a nosedive or a sudden leap, that would have showed up and said something. But they were fairly steady. So we just had to apply this kind of mental discount. On election day, we were, I think, 6.2 percentage points up in the Real Queer Politics average this time. And so, we said we need to overperform that if the polling error is the same in order to do better than we did in 2016. And the final tally, we added 248,000 votes to the total from 2016, and Trump added 200,000. So this was a huge ramp up on both sides that was not reflected in the public polling. And we have a lot to do to figure out what happened with those polls. But we know one thing, which is keep on working.
Well, you know, Biden's margin of victory in Wisconsin was really slim. So was President Trump's victory in 2016. And it's really unclear moving forward what the future holds for our swing state. How do you make sense of, or how do you interpret Wisconsin voting patterns?
I think the starting place has to be that we're incredibly evenly divided as a state when it comes to which party people identify with. We are the only state in the country that has had 4 out of the last 6 presidential elections come down to less than 1 percentage point. I mean, the next closest state has 2. It is an unbelievably close state. And we also saw that in the governor's race in 2018. You know, Governor Evers ran a terrific campaign. I think he's doing an outstanding job as governor. And he won by 1.1 percentage points in 2018. In our neighboring states, you know, if you look at Michigan, look at the blue wall, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. In Pennsylvania, Governor Wolf won by 18 points. In Michigan, the governor, Democratic gubernatorial candidate won by 10 percentage points. And again, we saw the same thing in 2020, that they had larger margins there. A big part of that is that the laws are much friendlier to voters. And so here it's like running an obstacle course, which our, you know, organizing and the dedication of voters helps people to traverse. But it's structurally more difficult to translate popular will into votes here. And I think part of that is reflected in this gap between polling and what you see in the reality. So you have to assume that things are going to be intense and tight. When you look at 2022, assume the governor's race could be close, even though there's a strong, you know, popular support for Governor Evers. Assume that we'll defeat Ron Johnson by 1 percentage point and work every day to make it happen.
Well, I want to
take anything for granted.
I want to start there with your praise of Governor Evers, who's been dealing with a number of crises, from the pandemic to the unemployment backlog to the bitter disagreements, polarization in the legislature, and working with Republicans. How do you see Evers, you know, how do you see Evers in his job as governor?
He is a steady leader in this time of crisis. And there's such a contrast, such a refreshing contrast between what you see with Donald Trump all over the map, changing his mind wildly from one day to the next and pursuing goals that are all about himself instead of about the public, versus Tony Evers, who's wakes up every day trying to figure out what's right for Wisconsinites and then figuring out, you know, how do you make the politics work on that? Governor Evers is, I think, represents the best of our state's tradition of government that is just focused on trying to make things work. And he's up against a Republican Party in the state legislature that has moved into 100% political mode. Everything is playing politics. It's all about how do you stop the governor from doing something so that he doesn't get political credit for it. You see that in lawsuits to take away his governing powers, to undermine public health authority, the refusal to actually pass any laws, even if the governor calls them into session. Over and over, they basically shirk responsibility and try to pin it on him. And he inherited a government that had been systematically underfunded. So you look at something like the unemployment insurance system, it was antiquated and built to lock people out, to stop people from getting benefits that they deserved. And the team in the administration has been working overtime to correct that. I'm very excited about our new head of the Department of Workforce Development, who oversaw this effort that has completely cleared out the backlog at this point, by having to overhaul systems and now working with Google to do, you know, predictive modeling for who might be able to qualify. That's the kind of innovation that we need. But it's hard to turn the ship of state around. And I really give the governor a lot of credit for the tremendous effort that's been underway and will continue to be underway all the way through.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Ben Wickler, who is chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. By the way, we will have the chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, Andrew Hitt, later this month. You can join in with your questions about the party. What do you want to ask its chair? What priorities do you want to see on the docket this year? We're at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Matt now in Nisida. Hi, Matt.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. My question for the guest is there any sentiment, generally speaking, in the Democratic Party leadership regarding ranked choice voting? Would there be support within the Democratic Party leadership for ranked choice voting, instituting that in Wisconsin in either local or state elections?
Yeah, Matt, wondering if there is traction for ranked choice voting.
You know, in our state party, we actually switched to ranked choice voting for statewide party leadership positions. So the state party chair, if there were more than two candidates on the ballot, which there weren't this time, we would have had ranked choice voting. There were originally three people running for chair when I ran for chair in the spring of 2019. And so some congressional districts had ranked choice voting. If you, you know, talk to grassroots activists, there's a lot of interest. I think broadly speaking, we have a system that is under constant assault and attack right now. And trying to figure out how to make the system work better, how to make it more inclusive of voters, more reflective of voters' opinions, is really critical. I also think we don't have a dance partner in that. Republicans in the state legislature are talking about trying to pass changes to voting laws that seem like they're doubling down on the strategy that they used in the last changes to voting laws, which are to make things more voter hostile. We went to court over and over trying to expand ballot access to benefit Democrats and Republicans and independents alike. And Republicans opposed them every time, all the way up to the state Supreme Court and the U.S. Supreme Court. I think a debate and a conversation about different types of voting systems would be really welcome on a statewide basis. But we've got to have elected officials across both parties that believe in the fundamental idea of democracy instead of people trying to throw ballots out, overturn the system, lock voters out to try to prevent majority rule.
We are getting a read on the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, where it's at, priorities this year with its chair, Ben Wickler. Are you active in local party politics? What would you like to share with the state Democratic Party leader? What do you think the Democratic Party is missing when it comes to understanding its base's priorities? What is it getting right? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Ben Wickler here on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with the State Democratic Party Chair, Ben Wickler. He was elected chair in June of 2019. We're looking at the organizing strategy of the party and where it goes next with intense political polarization. We have an eye on that at the Capitol in Madison. You can join in with your insights, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Mary Kay now in Kenosha. Hi, Mary Kay.
Good morning. I was a poll inspector in 2008 and 2014. I'd like to know when the Democrats. What they did was they intimidate the Republicans by ostracization while you're there. They have illegals coming in to vote, and you only got to show a gas bill.
Okay, Mary Kay. So Mary Kay was a poll inspector in past elections, and Mary Kay is saying that it is a very hostile environment. Is that right, Mary Kay? And Mary Kay has dropped. Ben, what was it like for poll workers in this election cycle?
This was one of the smoothest elections anyone can remember in a way that I'm really grateful for, and so especially grateful to the many, many, many people who signed up to become poll workers and poll observers for the first time, especially young people. There was a sea change that took place between our spring election last April 7th, which you might remember the pandemic had just begun. So many poll workers were understandably concerned about exposure to the coronavirus. They dropped out, especially in larger urban centers. Milwaukee had a massive shortfall of poll workers because people were concerned that was where the pandemic was hitting the hardest. And poll workers generally, traditionally, have been older Wisconsinites, as they have been across the country. Then civic organizations, grassroots groups, municipalities, and both parties went into a very intense period of work to recruit poll workers as well as poll observers for precincts all across the state. And there was no shortfall. And there were young people working the polls. I have a teenager friend who was working the polls here in Madison. And they oversaw a process that worked incredibly smoothly, as you could see in the recount, which changed the results almost not at all. this was a system that worked. And you could talk to local municipal authorities, local municipal clerks. You could talk to people who were observers and volunteers. It was transparent. It was successful. It was inclusive. The range of options was wide because people could vote absentee. They could vote absentee in person early, or they could vote on election day and same day register if they needed to. The system worked. And that's something that I think is a credit to our democracy, especially given the attacks. And it's part of what's made it so ghastly that people like Ron Johnson try to overturn the results afterwards and cast aspersion on the work of local heroes and champions across the state who made our democracy function in the middle of this pandemic.
Well, you mentioned the challenges to, and certainly absentee ballots in question and the court challenges there. How did you maneuver as a party through these challenges?
Our guiding principle all the way through was that every eligible voter should be able to have their vote count. The goal was, you know, if you're somebody who can't go to the DMV to get a new photo ID, but you've already demonstrated your identity and proved it in order to successfully register, you should be able to get an absentee ballot. Republicans opposed that, blocked that in court. We thought you should be able to, if you're not able to get a witness signature because you're isolated, you've made every effort, you should be able to turn in your absentee ballot and you know, have it verified that it's you by the municipal clerks. Republicans blocks that as well. That all happened in the spring election cycle. So as we went into the fall, we just focused on how do we make sure that every voter, recognizing that Republicans would not adapt the rules to include people who are shut out because of these unusual conditions, how do we make sure that people are able to vote even despite the situation? One thing that we saw in the fall that Republicans didn't oppose in the spring, and Republican appointed justices in the U.S. Supreme Court allowed in the spring, was for absentee ballots that were sent on election day to be counted if they arrived within a few days. In the fall, Republicans fought that in court all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and on October 27th, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled no, absentee ballots had to arrive by election day. There would be no provision for allowing them to come after, even though the mail system had been sabotaged by President Trump to slow down mail. And so all of our organizing was geared towards getting people to hand deliver their ballots in anticipation that the mail system might not deliver them in time. And as it turned out, almost everybody did get their ballots handed in time or mailed early enough. And so all those votes did count.
We're talking
the kind of effort people put in.
Yeah, I want to reintroduce you here, talking with the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Ben Wickler is here, taking your questions as well at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Let's take another call now. Yan is joining us from Beaver Dam. Hi, Yan.
Good morning. I'm curious as to what the reason is that the Democratic candidate for president got over half the votes of the votes for president, but in the assembly, the Republicans won 68 out of 99 assembly seats. I'd like to hear Mr. Wickler talk about that, please.
Thank you so much for that question. And if the answer is an infuriating one, it is the intentional gerrymandering of the legislative maps. It's the drawing of legislative districts to thwart Democratic majority rule that Republicans put in place in order to lock in control for Republicans after the last census 10 years ago. And this year, a new census will come out and the legislature will redraw the maps and then face Governor Evers, who can veto gerrymandered maps if they are out of line with the principle that every voter should have an equal say. So we're going to have a redistricting fight this year. It is my deep hope and wish that Republicans in the state legislature will pay attention to the People's Maps Commission, which the governor and the lieutenant governor have created, that's been listening to folks across the state. A majority of counties across the state have now passed fair maps referenda, representing the vast majority of Wisconsinites. The public, if you look at polls, overwhelmingly wants fair maps in our state. And this year is the year we'll determine whether we'll have a democracy in the state of Wisconsin for the next decade or whether we'll keep having this gerrymandered non-majority rule system that we've suffered under for the last decade. And that, frankly, I think the public needs to be heard as we go forward.
Let's bring in Christian now in Madison with a question. Hi, Christian. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Thank you for your service, sir, on the chair of the Democratic Party. I appreciate your work. I do want to know more about how you see the current legislative agenda of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and what the Democratic Party can expect from WMC going forward. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for that question. The Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce purports to represent businesses in our state. As it turns out, they're really a kind of hardcore Republican partisan special interest organization. And their agenda over and over is to elect Republicans, no matter how out of line with public sentiment their views might be, and then use their power within the kind of Republican legislative caucuses to do things like preserving the dark store loophole that gives giant tax handouts to mega corporations. And so it winds up actually tilting the economic balance in our state away from small and locally owned businesses and away from unionized employers towards really big companies that fund the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. That's unfortunate because ideally we'd have a responsible voice of business that could be part of the conversation alongside unions and employees and the public interest as we figure out how to solve our challenges as a state.
We only have a couple seconds left here, but your term as party chair ends in June. What will you do?
I haven't made any official announcement about a potential next term as chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, but I will say that I am deep in planning for our number one priority, reelecting Governor Evers, for making sure Ron Johnson's second term is his final term in the U.S. Senate, and organizing to elect Democrats and advance the progressive agenda up and down the ticket.
Ben, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you, Kate.
Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. We'll have the chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, Andrew Hitt, later this month. Just ahead, we talk with WPR director Mike Crane about programming changes for the new year. What questions are on your mind? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.